Hi, welcome to Indiana Weekend with John Strauss. This is a kind of radio magazine show about the interesting places and intriguing people in our part of the state. We're always interested in your thoughts. Drop us a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com with your suggestions and comments. Let us know what's going on where you are. Coming up in this show, a chat with one of Muncie's best-known media folks. Al Rent has been called Mr. Muncie by the Star Press, but he doesn't take himself that seriously. Pies in the face, chopped-up neckties, and more stories from Al Rent just ahead. But first, local fire departments are part of the community fabric in many smaller towns. They're the folks putting on the chili suppers, helping lead the 4th of July parades. But they're having a little trouble now. In many smaller communities, those are volunteer fire departments, and there just aren't as many volunteers as there used to be. People are busier. They're working more. They can't make the time commitment. And they felt that at the Yorktown Fire Department, where Dave Boone is the chief.
There's a need for people in the volunteer service.
For the last few years, we've been down on numbers across the board, across the county. A lot of the volunteer fire departments are struggling with that. We're allotted 50 firemen. We haven't, in the last 3 years that I've been chief, we've not been able to get up to that number. That's what we're striving to do. Just because the more firemen that you have on a scene, the more firemen that you have at the department to do different tasks, it cuts the workload down. Right now we're sitting at 40. We just put on 6 new recruits, so we were at 34. We seem to go up and down in our numbers over the course of years. Some years we'll be up, some years we'll be down, but we've never been able to hit that 50 mark. So we'd like to get up to that and see how we could distribute the workload across more of us.
What's the job like?
For me, it's extremely rewarding. There's training, so you get to learn new things. There's the interaction with the guys down here, guys and girls. We're a big family, so we all help each other. You know, if you have a problem at your house, one person may know how to do plumbing, one may know how to do electrical, somebody's able to help you another way. So there's that side of it, the community side. There's the ability for us to get out into the community and serve the community with, you know, fire prevention, fundraisers, different activities, 4 for the 4th, you know, the 4th of July festival with fireworks, the runs that they have down in Yorktown. We set up, you know, different stations and help them with that. Being at different community events that people are putting on, having a fire truck there. So there's that side that's extremely rewarding as well. And then you get into the runs, and depending on what the run is, they're all over the place. So it can be anything from a medical run to a car accident to, you know, a house fire to a CO alarm. It's the entire range. So when you're looking at something like that, there's a little something for everybody to pull from in the fire service. And then one of the beauties of being a volunteer fireman, in my opinion, is I can go to any run that I can make. So I may come down and go to a medical run the very next time tones go off. I may be going on a structure fire the very next time I'd be going to something else. So, and I'm allowed to come whenever I want. So, you know, we carry pagers. As soon as the pagers go off, we can respond and go to the run.
What goes through a person's mind when those tones go off?
I think that depends on where they're at in their career. A new probationary firefighter probably doesn't realize what they're getting into or what they're going to, and they have to lean on the officer corps and the staff and the senior firefighters to educate them on what they're going to, what they should be thinking of, whether they should put their pack on, whether it's a run that they don't need to, what equipment and tools we'll need when we get there. As they move up into senior firefighters, they draw off their experience of, you know, these are the things we did last time, you know, this is what we're gonna have to do when we get there, this is how we run, this is, you know. And then when you get into the officers and people who are riding in the officer's seat of the truck, it's one of those where you're thinking, do I need to do a 360? Or you always do a 360, but what am I gonna find when I get there? You know,
what does a 360 mean?
When you arrive on scene, you walk around the house completely to make sure that you see all sides of the house, nothing's gonna sneak up on you. Look at all the inherent safety risks, you know, their power lines down or whatever it may be. So you just get a total scope of the house. And then after that, you know, the officer's gonna be thinking of what's the best way to get there. Once we get there, you know, what kind of call is it? What could be potential hazards? What do I need to look for? So they start running through a checklist off of their experience and their training to ensure that they're gonna be productive when they get on scene.
There's a lot of training involved with this, isn't there?
Yeah, there's a lot. Coming out of the gate, when you first hire on, you're looking at You're going to get hazardous materials awareness and hazardous materials operations, which are how to deal with those hazardous material situations. Then you're going to get mandatory firefighter, which is an introduction to fireside. And then you'll get CPR. So that would be the beginning of, you know, your medical training. And then within the first 2 years, we require that all our firefighters get firefighter 1 and 2 and some kind of medical certification, whether that be EMT or first responder. So those would be the next 2 stepping stones. After that, the training is just continuous to whatever you want to go into. If you're really excited in vehicle extrication, you can start looking down that path. If you're really excited into the medical field, you can start looking down that path. Technical rescues, rope rescue, trench rescue, collapse, confined space, building collapse. So there's a whole gamut of opportunity, depending on where you want to go.
I'm guessing it takes a special kind of person. What kind of people are attracted to this?
They usually have a really good work ethic, and they have an inherent desire to help other people. They kind of put the other people before themselves, especially, you know, if you're leaving different situations with your family to go help someone else's family, or, you know, you may have plans one afternoon that you want to go do this, and we get, you know, multiple calls. Your plans may need to be put on hold, which is all part of what we do down here and all of part of what we enjoy about this. So I just say they have to have an inherent will and desire and drive to help others.
Dave Boone, chief of the Yorktown Fire Department, one of many volunteer departments having trouble finding enough, well, volunteers. Coming up, what they're doing about that, and what the volunteers are in for when they sign up.
Indiana Weekend, real radio from just down the road. Look for that name on Facebook and drop us a line. Let us know what you think at indianaweekend@gmail.com. Now here's John Strauss.
More with Dave Boone and the Yorktown firefighters in just a bit. But first, I saw my first telesale last week. This is the WIPB TV fundraiser that's been going on now for 37 years. Big community event. I work for WIPB now, so I was there to help out. And who do I meet but people like Tom Foote and Gary Addison, who've been volunteering with this show since the beginning. And Al Rent, who's been the lead organizer forever. He's also emceed just about everything, it seems like. The Star Press even called him Mr. Muncie a few years ago. He's very fun to talk with, so of course I wanted you to join us for just a bit of the conversation.
Tell me about this volunteer spirit that we see around.
Well, you know, it really goes to, I think, 2 things. People just enjoy doing this. Part of that is doing something for the community and for the betterment of the station. I mean, there's no doubt that there's the altruistic side of it. But the other side of it, it's just fun, John. It just, people have a good time. And we feed them so well that all of it sort of blends into a 3-night happening. And you're doing good for WIPB, you're doing good for the community, and you're having fun at the same time. And that just makes the best of all those worlds blending together.
You've been doing this for how many years?
Well, since it began. So we always have trouble remembering. I think we went on the air for the first time in 1978. So if you do the math, it's about 36 years and counting. And a group of us got together back in that time and said, what are we going to do? We need to raise money. And somebody said, we ought to do an auction, and this thing was born. And it's always been called the telesale. In those days, technology was not the thing that really controlled how we do things today. It was very much people-driven. So the number of volunteers involved in telesale was enormous. It touched every area of the community. And in those days, in the beginning, it was a social event. Everybody not only looked forward to it, but they tuned in to see who was on TV. Those things have changed. I mean, you know, we're in a different time and period. But telesale is still as strong as it's ever been. And it's still an economic driver for bringing in financial support to public television, to WIPB.
So there's some of the spirit. Was there ever a time when you were on the air and you just, like, forgot where you were or something like that?
Oh, John, many, many times. And it wasn't that I forgot where I was. I introduced wrong items and wrong sponsors or underwriters, to where if I hadn't had an earpiece where the director could talk to me, I would have continued to make a huge mistake. But I'd say, I'd introduce something or something else, and then they'd say, wrong sponsor, wrong item. And you'd have to then do a 180 and start over again. But that's the beauty of telesales, live television. So you don't let any of those things bother you. You just laugh at it and go on.
Looking back over the years, thinking back to previous telesales, when you and the other telesale veterans get together, is there any particular nights that you remember? Everybody goes, oh, yeah, that's right. That was back in 86. Remember?
Well, I do. I don't remember the year, but we did the broadcast for 2 weeks. We either did it, and again, age, your memory sort of slips a little bit. So I'm not sure if we did it 6 total nights, 3 nights each week, or if we did it 4 nights each week. So give or take, we did it a total of 8 or 6 nights. But we did it in a warehouse downtown. Company had lent us their big warehouse. So we had lots of space. We moved all the equipment out there, and we started.
Would have been in the 70s, the 80s?
It was 78. It was 78. Oh, okay. It started in the warehouse. Okay, yes. Okay. It was there for a couple of years, 2 or 3 years. But it was organized chaos from the time we took the air until the time we went off the air. And the things I remember most was that we all just had so much fun. We didn't know. We couldn't do anything. We asked for forgiveness, not permission. And I think that's what made it so much fun to do. And then they would do things like someone would decide they needed to put a bid. I wore a coat and tie. I mean, I dressed up. Someone needed to bid on my tie. And so in a single evening, my tie raised over $300. And then the guy said, I'll give you an extra $100 if you'll cut it in half on the air. So I spent the other half of the show with just half a tie on, but we made money on it. And then somebody else paid a lot of money to have a pie thrown in my face. Oh, yeah. I have suffered great indignity over the years, John, but I've bared up well, although I did have to retire those clothes. Too much whipped cream.
I've never been in a television studio where there was so much going on.
I know.
You pick up some of that vibe as you're watching it, as
I know.
You're watching the broadcast.
Totally by design.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
We say, there are people counting down, right?
They're counting down. The board is ending. Everything is in 6-minute increments. And so at the end of 6 minutes, everybody gets happy. The board closes, but we're going to move right along and sell something else. And for 3 nights and 4 hours each night, we sell a boatload of stuff. But the spirit and all of that comes from all those people who really enjoy being here and are here for all the right reasons.
You have a special feeling about public television.
Well, yeah.
I mean, you were a commercial broadcaster. You're a broadcast owner.
Yeah. Well, I was. But I majored in speech and mass communications because when I started Ball State, they didn't even have paved roads in those days, John. It was so long ago.
Right. Well, there was the cow path, right?
Well, there was the cow path, yes. And the cows were on the path at times. I go way, way, way back to my love of broadcasting and communications. And so I worked for WLBC Channel 49 as a student employee. They paid me a little bit of money. My brother and I both worked there. We would go to school in day, and we would work on radio and TV at night. And it got to be long days and nights, but we were young, and so we never felt the pain. So when WLBC Channel 49 sold the license to Ball State, I just naturally immigrated right over. You know, I just crossed the border and came right with it. And I wouldn't have it any other way.
And that would have been about 71.
That's right, yeah. So I've volunteered since the beginning of the station, when it first went on the air, as public television, and continue to do that today. And again, for a variety of reasons. But it's such a community treasure. It's such a community asset. And if I can do anything to keep it strong and vibrant, then that's what I want to do.
The broadcasting stations in Muncie are what help make the community, right?
To have two radio stations that have huge towers and 50,000 watts per station, plus a series of other smaller wattage stations in this area, That's really impressive. Ask anybody around the country. You know, it's like, what? You've got how many stations there? What's the population base around there? And then we've got this television station, which is very vibrant and relevant and providing an alternative programming to commercial television. And so from a community standpoint, we as a community get all that benefit.
That is Al Rent, who we caught up with at the WIPB telesale last week. That's the show where they auction off donated things with the money going toward the public television station. I worked there, but never had the chance to sit down with Al like that, and I thought you might enjoy a couple of his stories.
This is Indiana Weekend with John Strauss on Indiana Public Radio.
Across the country, volunteer fire departments are having a tough time coming up with enough, well, volunteers. And that's an issue that Dave Boone has dealt with. He is chief of the Yorktown Fire Department. He's been a volunteer himself and remembers what it was like learning that job.
Is there a day or a run that sticks out in your mind? What was your first run like?
My first run was a car accident. Slide off, so it wasn't anything, you know, spectacular, I guess. We got out there and they were slid down an embankment quite a ways and snowy. So we had to just help get the victim out of the car and back up onto the road. So yeah, it wasn't anything stupendous, but it was one of those where we were able to help somebody and, you know, they were having a difficult time getting out of the car and up the embankment. You know, it was somewhat rewarding.
Is there a reward in the reaction of people that you help?
Yeah, between the people and their families, and it all depends on the run and the scene and what's going on. A lot of times, the reaction of the family, you don't get to see a whole lot of that unless it's an extended scene, just because you're so busy. You know, if it's a cardiac arrest, you're focusing on, you know, making sure you're getting the breaths and the chest compressions, and there's a bunch of people that are all working for the same goal. You know, we're working with Delaware County EMS primarily, so, you know, they're doing what they need to do. We're assisting them. We're getting the patient onto the backboard, onto the cot, into the ambulance. So there's a whole chain of steps that we're having to do. And a lot of times, by the time that all gets done, we're at the back of the ambulance, we're putting them in, we get in and head to the hospital. So, you know, the family reaction and things like that on an extended scene, you'll see more of it. Or if you go out and just do some kind of service work in the community, take a fire truck out to a community event, sit there for the day, talk to the kids, you know, that you get a lot of enjoyment out of that, or at least I do.
It's a fire department, but you do a lot more than work fires.
Oh yeah, I would say overall, movies and TV drum up, you know, all the exciting. There's a lot of back-end work that we do as well to maintain that relationship with the community that we need to keep. You know, the community needs to trust their fire department and trust that we're doing a good job, and, you know, that's something we pride ourselves in doing here especially. So
you make a lot of medical runs.
Yes. Yeah, we run about 75% to 80% of our runs are medical runs. With that, car accidents are considered medical runs for us as well. But we run on, you know, any kind of advanced life support run, or if Delaware County EMS is out of our jurisdiction, we'll be primary until they get back to us.
So when you get to winter, what are you thinking about? Kinds of things you're going to be facing?
Yeah, during the winter, you get into a lot of different, you get, you know, hypothermia, cold exposure. Getting to the scene is a whole new ball game. It's not dry, clear roads anymore. So we have to deal with getting our responders here and then getting the truck to the scene, making sure that's done safely. You're looking at, you know, CO alarms, possibly the chance of fires going up with people using space heaters, fireplaces. A lot of the heat sources are starting to be reintroduced to keep the home warm. And then when you shift back into the summertime, you're looking at, you know, heat stroke, heat exhaustion, field fires, things like that, that you don't have to worry about in the winters.
Can you think of a medical run that you went on where you realized, hey, I just saved somebody here. I really made a difference.
I guess I don't really look at it like that. I mean, I think with us being there and trying our best, we're trying to make a difference on every run, but I never look at it as I've done anything. It's always a team of us. So it's always a group of us that show up. We're all working together for the same goal, and I couldn't do what I need to do on a scene if I didn't have the backup and the extra set of hands. you know, on a medical run, if we're on that, we need Delaware County EMS to help us, and or other fire, you know, other fire departments, we need them as well. The other volunteers and Muncie, we all need to work together and for a common goal. I cannot do a structure fire completely by myself. Eventually, I need to rotate out my guys and have that backup manpower. I need to have the backup trucks, the water, depending if it's an unhydrated area. And we all work together to, when I get toned, we have another department that comes with us on structure fires. So the cross training and the getting to know the other fire departments starts increasing that brotherhood side of things, where you get to know a lot more people than what you did, and we all work together. So
there is that camaraderie that you have mm-hmm. around on the scene and in the firehouse. People kid around, play jokes with each other.
With the firehouse, it's like a family. So, you know, anything that goes on in a family environment, we have, you know, our fights between the guys down here. We have our goofing around between the guys down here. And when I say guys, I refer to everybody as guys. We actually have 3 female firefighters on right now, and we're working on a 4th that's coming in off probation. We've got a whole spectrum of people and experiences and backgrounds and skill sets. So it's, you put 40 people into a family environment, inherently there's gonna be poking at each other and playing jokes on each other, and, you know, but there's also the getting together and having a good time and, you know, sitting down and having dinner together and a lot of that aspect too.
Can you think of a time where they pulled together as a family to help somebody out?
Yeah, actually, just not too long ago, we pulled together and we went and helped clean up a yard for a resident of the community. She was having some trouble with being able to handle the scope of what she needed to do, so a group of us got together and went and did that. Knocked it out in a couple hours just to help out.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames.
Dave Boone, chief of the Yorktown Fire Department, talking about volunteer firefighters and the place they have in their communities and in the hearts of the people they serve. Dave, by the way, is a volunteer himself. In his day job, he works in IT for a Texas company. He went through Ball State's Center for Information and Communication Sciences master's program. Now he has one of those jobs that's almost completely online, so he could live virtually anywhere. But he and his wife have chosen to raise their kids in Yorktown. They like the community, they like the schools, and he really likes the volunteer fire department. And that is our show for today. Isn't it great to talk with people who love what they do? One of those people is our producer, the very able Sean Ashcraft. Glad you could join us this time and hope you'll stay in touch. Drop me a note at indianaweekend@gmail.com if you would like more information or have a suggestion. In the meantime, thanks and have a great week. Until we meet again on the next Indiana Weekend on Indiana Public Radio.
Indiana Weekend with host John Strauss. Our show is engineered at Indiana Public Radio, produced by Sean Ashcraft. Major support for Indiana Weekend comes from Dillman's Furniture of Muncie, serving East Central Indiana with home furnishings from Flex Steel, Bassett, and Simmons Beautyrest. Join us again next week for Indiana Weekend with John Strauss here on Indiana Public Radio.